Translation. Hearing all this blasphemy, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu merely smiled to himself, rejected all these accusations, and did not talk with the Mayavadis. Purport. As Krishna conscious devotees, we do not like to converse with Mayavadi philosophers simply to waste valuable time. But whenever there is an opportunity, we impress our philosophy upon them with great vigour and success. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Text 44. Upeksha Kariya Kaila Matura Gamana Matura Dakiya Puna Kaila Agamana. Thus, neglecting the blasphemy of the Varanasi Mayavadis, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded to Mathura, and after visiting Mathura, he returned to meet the situation. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not talk with the Mayavadi philosophers when he first visited Varanasi, but he returned there from Mathura to convince them of the real purpose of Vedanta. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sargjatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrinda Vanishwari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So these are two short verses, short purports, but Prabhupada spent a lot of time speaking on this subject matter. Actually, when I first read the... I first got a book many years ago, and I walked away with the book, and the devotee, I didn't know he was a devotee, he was in plain clothes, and he said, he shouted me back, and he gave me a record. He gave records out of that time, night and day dream. And I didn't really want the record, but out of, you know, courtesy, I took it, and I was walking away again. And then he shouted again. I thought, what does he want? I looked around and he says, Hare Krishna! And I went, oh no. I remember seeing the devotees on the television many, many, maybe 7 or 8 years earlier, chanting on the Rath Yatra in London, one of the first Rath Yatras. Then a few months later on Top of the Pops. And I could see that this was something really strange. People dancing in the middle of the street wearing robes. And so I thought, you'll never get me doing that. Because I thought it was a Buddhist book. It's talking about Mayavadi and Buddhism here. But when I started reading the book, I kept coming across this Mayavad. Prabhupada kept mentioning this impersonalism, Mayavad. I thought everybody knows there's a God. In England, even though people are atheistic by nature, everybody believes that there's a God. And this impersonalism, I couldn't actually understand why Prabhupada was emphasizing it so much. But actually, the truth is that Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, we say every time we offer the prayers to Srila Prabhupada, that he specifically came to destroy this Nirvishesha, which is impersonalism, and Shunyavadi, which is voidism, Buddhism. They're both the same thing, one's more disguised than the other, that's all. And so Prabhupada starts this text 43, and he's talking about we don't waste undue time speaking to these people, because in and of themselves it doesn't really matter. If they want to believe that, that's up to them. And so we find that when we're distributing books, this is a time of year when devotees make an extra effort, that we haven't got time to argue with people who don't want to understand. So Lord Chaitanya also, he wasn't so bothered at the time. Tapana Mishra and Chandrasekhar, they were very disturbed when they heard the Mayavadis blaspheming Lord Chaitanya. And they told Lord Chaitanya, but he just smiled and he said, don't worry about it. But because they were, at least in this pastime, they were acting as Kanistradikaris, neophyte devotees, they became very disturbed. So this is the nature in the beginning of devotional service, when we don't really understand the philosophy properly and how to apply it is more important in each situation. Then we become very disturbed when there's something out of place. Everything's got to be in place. Nothing shall go out. It's like material learning means that everything's got its place. And the laws are very strict. But in Vaishnava philosophy, it's not quite like that. We're dealing with spiritual subject matter. Therefore, it's flexible according to time, place and circumstance. And according to Acharya, and according to Sampradaya, and according to Krishna. So when we're not so conversant, we become disturbed. So both Chandrasekhar and Tapana Mishra were really disturbed. And they wanted Lord Chaitanya to put an end to this. Why do we become disturbed? We don't properly understand, but what's another thing? I know when Prabhupada, it was Ravindra Sarup, he wrote, when in the early days, he was one of the first disciples, and he was speaking about how they all were very, very, because they come from such a wild background, drugs, intoxication, all the wrong things, you know, they were young men who'd sort of opted out of society. What did they call it, that age? What did they call those people? The flower people. And what did they call the philosophy they got? Drop out and tune in, yeah. Anyway, they'd opted out of the usual brick in the wall situation in society. And so when they took to the Krishna consciousness, it was completely the antipathy. It was control the senses, fix the mind, you know, everything had to be. And so they were actually really making an effort. And if somebody became a little bit, you know, shaky, it upset a lot of them, and they really ostracized that person. He said, we treat people who are shaky a little, very, very severely, because it undermined our faith. Nobody can fall down. That's what Kirtananda Maharaj said, didn't he, in the Prabhupada Lilamrita. They call him Keith then. He said, nobody leaves this movement. And so this is what they call fundamentalism or fanaticism, that we don't properly understand, and therefore we go overboard to keep ourselves seemingly safe. We overemphasize sometimes on the wrong things. And so this is what Chandrasekhar and Tapana Mishra was doing. Anyway, Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, he left that situation. Because in Krishna consciousness, there's a time and place for everything, isn't there? We think we are in control. That's a difficulty. We're used to leading our lives as if everything depends on the things that we do. There's no higher sanction. And people say, I've worked for it, let them work for it. But it doesn't work like that. Some people work for it and they never get it. Some people don't work for it and they get it. It means that there's another higher principle. That's a sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Chaitanya was biding his time. And sometimes in devotional service, similarly, we have to bide our time. We have to see this situation may not be the correct time to act. Has anybody had that experience? We want to do something about it, but maybe we don't feel things are quite right. And when we do, if we do something about it at that time, what happens? What a mess. We're in a mess. The whole situation is in a mess. No, Lord Chaitanya has seen that we have to... He's the Supreme Personality of God. He knows what's coming in the future. But when we become more experienced in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, then we can apply the philosophy for time, place and circumstances. And we also develop the vision and the patience to do things at the right time. Prabhupada writes in one purport that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, that a devotee has to know what... It's when... I'll tell you what it is. It's when the milk is boiling over. And we've just had Damodarastakam prayers. And Mother Yashoda is feeding baby Krishna. And the milk starts to come up. And she hears it. Immediately she puts Krishna down and runs and takes the milk off the heat. And Prabhupada writes in the purport is that in Krishna consciousness we have to prioritize things. We have to know what things to do first, what things to do second, like that. He said, so even in this situation, even though she was feeding Krishna, she prioritized at first, let me save the milk. So in devotional service, we have to also see what are our priorities in life. What comes first? What comes second? What comes third, like that? And so Lord Chaitanya is also doing this. He's leaving this situation. He's going to carry on with his parikram to Mathura. So even Giriraj, actually, when he first met Prabhupada, he was asking Prabhupada questions, and Prabhupada could see where he was coming from. And Prabhupada turned around one day and said, and he answered his question in such a way, he said, "We are not God." And Giriraj Maharaj understood, he realized that actually that's the problem. I think I'm God. He was an impersonalist at the time. And so this Mayavad philosophy, this impersonalist philosophy, even though it's not spoken about, it's deep rooted in society. I think I spoke about it last time, how just going through the... If we go into the village, I was going to say the outback. We don't have outback in England, do we? Into the countryside. Have we got any Australians here? When we go into the countryside, you know, we'll go through these little hamlets where, you know, the houses are sometimes 200-300 years old. Like this, like at the back here, we've got this village. I don't know whether they are so old, but this is like a little hamlet. In the middle of the hamlet, there's a church. And so society, and everything, you know, there's no two houses the same. They're all unique. There's this personality there. People have spent time to build that house. They've spent years to build a church in the middle. So what does this mean? We can see that society is God-conscious. People have time to do things that matter. They have time to build a church. They have time to build a house. Make it last. But what do we see now? What's the most recent... I was speaking about the most recent towns in England now. There's two I can think of. There's one pretty close. What would you say is... Milton Keynes. Has anybody been to Milton Keynes? And anybody not been to Milton Keynes? Well, you're not missing much. You go to Milton Keynes and it's just square boxes, one after another, a few, you know, trees in between. It's not fully grown yet, but maybe it'll cover all the city up when they have grown. But it's like, you can't tell where you are. Everything just looks the same. This is impersonalism. And what's the other one in the north, near Liverpool? No, not Manchester. No, it's... I forget the name, but we were talking about it the other day. I used to go into Sankirtan there. It's exactly the same. Northern version. And so people's lives are also becoming like that. People are becoming more and more uninteresting, aren't they? I remember when I first started to work, I used to go to work, and there were some really, you know, people, probably about 16 or 17, but there were some older people there. They were ready for retiring in 50s, 60s, and they had character. They were speaking about when they first joined, and they had time to speak about these things. Now it's just like, I don't know what it's like, but when we meet people on the street, it's nobody's got time for anybody. So this is a sign of impersonalism. Anyway, coming back to the verse, modern civilization is becoming more and more impersonalistic. Prabhupada really knew that this is the thing that has to be destroyed, this misunderstanding about life. And when he first landed in misunderstanding about impersonalism and personalism, when Prabhupada first went to New York, he first went to Butler, Pennsylvania. He spent some time there with a family, and he was analysing the situation of the Western psychology. This is what the first thing we have to do, isn't it? When we want to preach, we have to weigh up the opposition, see what, you know, what we're actually having to deal with. And Prabhupada did that. He was just analysing the way people lived, and therefore he knew how to actually approach. Then a little later he went back to New York, and the first place he stayed was Dr. Mishra's studio. He was from India, and at that time the Eastern philosophy was becoming very, very popular in the United States. And a lot of people jumped on the bandwagon. They weren't qualified really to teach philosophy from the East. They knew very little themselves. A lot of them were impersonalists. And he was one such impersonalist. And at one point, he wouldn't let Prabhupada speak. When he heard Prabhupada speak a few times in his studio to his students, he stopped him from speaking because he was speaking personalist philosophy. And Prabhupada was his guest. He couldn't do anything about it. You know, this is a... But when they got in the back of the car and they were coming from the actual meeting... He used to be arguing like anything. This is what Satsvarup Maharaj writes in his Prabhupada Lilamrita. And they were really shouting at the top of the voice. But then, as soon as they got out of the car, they used to pay respects and not at the end of it. So this is actually the custom, is that even though the philosophy is discussed very passionately, at the end of the discussion, then everybody pays proper respects. He doesn't finish up in a fight or anything like that. So yeah, Prabhupada used to defend this. The point being made in the first verse is that we don't want anything really to do with it. Actually, Lord Chaitanya was more merciful. He could have just said, "Forget about these impersonalists. Let them get on with it. I'll just preach personalist philosophy." But no, he went out of his way. What was the story? He, when he came back from Vrindavan, Tapana Mishra and Chandrasekhar, they induced one Brahmin to invite Lord Chaitanya for lunch. And he'd already invited all the Mayavadi sannyasis. And so this was an opportunity, they thought, that Lord Chaitanya could meet these Mayavadi sannyasis and give them a good working over. But Lord Chaitanya did exactly the opposite thing. What did he do? He let them first of all settle. Then he went and he took the humble role. He sat in a dirty place where everybody washed their feet. But they could see that the effulgence that was coming from his body, that he was somebody very special. And their philosophy is that everybody ultimately is God. This is the Mayavada or impersonalist philosophy. We just have to realise it, don't we? Is that right? We just have to realize it. One day. And so when they thought, this person's achieved the state of Narayan. And so they asked Pakashinanda Sarasvati, he invited him over. He said, "Why are you sitting in this filthy place? Come and sit with the rest of us and discuss Mayavad, discuss philosophy." He didn't say Mayavad philosophy. Why are you chanting in this way, like a sentimentalist? We can't understand. And Lord Chaitanya said, "My spiritual master told me that I'm not intelligent enough to read Vedanta. So you just chant the names of God, chant these holy names. And so this was actually a shock for the Mayavadis, because they realized that this person's so advanced, where does it put us? We are studying Vedanta. So Lord Chaitanya was very, very intelligent in his preaching. And then, of course, they started asking more questions. They become attracted to him, and then he started to unveil the philosophy. And eventually he converted them to personalism. And so there's a lesson in Lord Chaitanya's how we treat preaching in this Western civilization. Everybody is at heart impersonalistic. You know, but for any few people you can ask, what does God look like? And I don't think anybody can really tell you. Some have some guesswork. What was I saying now? What was the last point? Nobody's listening. He was humble and he converted them to Vaishnavism, that's it. Yes, we have to know the right, what is it, tactics. Has anybody heard this word, tactics? We have to know what to do, how to do it. What's the other word? I shouldn't mention this too often. It's in the GBC meetings they're using it, and at Bhaktivedanta Manor they're working it out. We've got vision. Yes, we've got a vision, and we've got the strategy, and then we've got the tactics. Does anybody know the difference? So Lord Chaitanya had all three. He had a vision. He wanted to spread Krishna consciousness, make everybody happy. Is that our vision? And then he wanted the strategy. The strategy was to teach people the process of Krishna consciousness, defeat this Mayavad philosophy simultaneously. And then he started to put the tactics into operation. What we do to bring that result about. So Mayavadi sannyasis, what's the difficulty with an impersonalist? Any ideas? Somebody who's got an impersonalistic conception. What do we find in them? Well, something we probably won't find in them. They think that they know everything. They have a monopoly on Vedanta philosophy. Shadyak Bhasya. Actually, at that time, what's a sign of knowledge? What's one of the symptoms? Humility. And what does Lord Balaram say when he? What word did he use when he touched Romaharshana with the straw? He killed Romaharshana because although he was so learned, he wasn't gentle in behaviour, humble. But actually in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada writes how the Mayavadi sannyasis, they wear turbans and they ride on the backs of elephants when they've advanced in this philosophy. You see, Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So there's pride in the heart. And they actually think the most spiritually advanced. So we can see this Mayavad philosophy is developing all the wrong qualities. It's not humility and gentleness, but exactly the opposite. Arrogance, pride, conceit. So impersonalism and Buddhism. So what's the outlook of an impersonalist? What do they find difficult about the Vaishnava philosophy? Why do a lot of people take to impersonalism? Prabhupada writes about it in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Vita Raga Vayakroda verse, about how people are too attached to this world. People are too attached to material life. They don't want to give it up. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Fear of, this is the one I'm talking about. The other one is anger. People become angry at so many different philosophies. They're all wrong. Waste of time. But fear is a big one also. And even the Mayavadis suffer from this fear. This is why they become Mayavadis, impersonalism. They think that the suffering of the material world is replicated in the spiritual world. This is a reflection of the spiritual world. We hear that said in the Shastras. Nothing can exist in this world without existing in the real terms, in the spiritual world. So they see that activities in material life bring so much suffering and difficulty. And therefore, when they're thinking about spiritual life, they're thinking that, and they're told that there's a transcendental form of the Lord, which is eternal, blissful, full of knowledge, and we can reciprocate, we take on another form, they think, oh, not again. No. They want to annihilate their existence. This is the root of Buddhism. There's two kinds of impersonalism, or Mayavad philosophy. One is Buddhism, and one is straight impersonalism. So Prabhupada said, Shunyavad is Buddhism. It's called agnosticism. That they believe that make everything zero, no suffering. It's like if we have a headache, chop the head off. Impersonalism means that it's worse. Why is impersonalism worse? They don't admit. They refute. I didn't mention it actually. They're Buddhists. They say don't follow the Vedic scriptures. Everything's void ultimately. We just forget about the scriptures and we become void in our philosophy. We merge into nothingness. But the impersonalists, they use those scriptures which are meant to prove the existence of God, to disprove the existence of God, and once again put the living entity on the platform of God. And so in Ishupanishads, this is described as the most difficult thing. It's more dangerous than impersonalism, than Buddhism, voidism. Because it puts people in the wrong conception again. I am the controller. And this is calling like a jewel on a cobra's head. What's a jewel on a cobra's head? A cobra? What would we do if a cobra came in here now? It'd empty in, I'd give about 5 seconds flat. snake. Well, what's more dangerous? There might be some fool who looks at the cobra and thinks, wow, it's got a jewel on its head. I'd get a few bob from that. But then, this philosophy which is being preached, this impersonalist philosophy, or these slaughterhouse of the universities, they're preaching materialistic philosophy only, impersonalism, voidism. It's actually disguised as being knowledge. But actually, it's ignorance. So this is like, the snake looks attractive, but it's dangerous. It looks safe, but it's dangerous. This knowledge looks okay, but it's dangerous. So this knowledge is like the jewel on a cobra's head. It's disguised. And so all society has been misled by this into this impersonalistic understanding. This actually started thousands of years ago where first thing in impersonalism, people stop following the Vedas or they start misusing the Vedas. The first sign was that in the Vedas it says that okay, Krishna gives facility for everybody to do what they want, but in a regulated way. If you want to eat meat, then okay, meat you can eat meat, but in a certain way, a certain kind of animal you sacrifice, and in a certain way you kill the animal, and before you kill it, you whisper in its ears that what's that word? Mangsa, that's it. I'm taking your life now, but in the next life you'll take mine. And so when one keeps saying this, one starts to think about it. It's not so, especially as we get older, we think, wait a minute. So it's weaning us off killing animals. But they started killing the animals wholesale. They stopped following the Vedic injunction. That's a natural tendency. Vyasadeva wasn't satisfied when he wrote the Vedas even. He said, I've wrote all these Vedas and I'm still not satisfied at heart. What did Narada Muni say? My dear Prabhu. He was mocking him. My dear Master. What's the problem? You've wrote all the Vedas. Maybe you haven't explained about devotional service. People will take the easy way out. They'll take the positive side, which will satisfy the senses out of the Shastras, and they'll miss out the things which are difficult to do. And this is exactly what they did. And so Lord Buddha appeared. Krishna saw the situation. He came as Lord Buddha And he took them away from the Vedic Shastras, and taught them to follow his example. He stopped animal killing. So he brought people to human life again. Stop killing the animals. And then later, when they were settling this, Krishna sent incarnation of Shankaracharya, of Lord Shiva. And he started to bring people back to the Vedic scriptures by impersonalism. Follow the Vedas, but it's not. We can't accept a supreme personality of Godhead immediately. We're a little bit too far gone at the moment. We have to gradually come to that understanding. And so he was teaching them on that basis. And then, of course, the Ramanujacharya came, and then Madhavacharya came and brought the onto personalist understanding of God. And even when Lord Chaitanya came, when Lord Chaitanya left, although he'd been very vehemently preaching about the process of devotional service through the chanting of the holy name, still the Kali Yuga, this age we're living, is so degrading that straight away the teachings became misused, misappropriated by certain people. And these 13 aprasampradayas came. What do you call them? Owls, the Bowls, the Darvesh, Shakibeki, Chowdhury, anymore? Gauranga Nagari, Dervarsh, Sachi, Jati Gosai, Smarta Brahmins. And these are all perverted forms of devotional service. Usually it means illicit connection between the opposite sexes in the name of religion. And so it degraded the name of devotional service. And so Lord Chaitanya, when Shankaracharya came, he flooded the world with impersonalist philosophy. And this sort of took the heat off people following these wrong teachings of Vaishnava philosophy, so-called Vaishnava philosophy. People were so bewildered that they were following impersonalism, and they came to this stage of being angry. What do I follow? There's so many things to follow. And they generally went towards impersonalism. So people didn't... they didn't become so prominent. So everything's got a plan. Lord Chaitanya's got a plan for everything. And so similarly, in modern times, we can understand that we're going through different phases of preaching in devotional service. We're going through certain phases. Things are changing. And sometimes seems like we're becoming a little bit lost in the process. Maybe not so many devotees are coming to the temple. Maybe this is happening, maybe that's happening. Not so much Harinam, as you were saying last week. Maybe not so much book distribution. But we have to be patient, like Lord Chaitanya. He didn't sort of snap and criticize the situation, but we have to see what's happening behind as well, what behind the scenes, that maybe there's preaching going in other ways which are going to facilitate these things more in the future. Can anybody give any examples? What's happening now? University preaching. Very slow. But, you know, we're getting quality people coming to the movement. People who are self-sufficient. They can do so much. Anything else? What's that? Yeah. Yeah, we don't... people come and it's... Yoga Kirtan night. People are into yoga. And so they hear this word yoga. And they come and listen. The devotees don't even tell them what it's all about. And they start chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And they say, now this is a very sacred mantra. If we go deep into it, we'll feel the heart become purified. We're lifted to a higher plane. Wow. And 6 hours later, they're fixed. I went to one on New Year's. When was it? Was it New Year's Eve? I don't know. It was one all-nighter in Swansea, and they were preaching like this. And there were people who they'd probably been once or twice before, and they were sat in the front, and they were chanting all the way for about 6 hours, and they didn't know why they were chanting or anything. Then they come back next time and start asking a few questions. What's this all about anyway? So yeah, I mean, we have to sometimes we have to go in a more indirect way. If we go a direct, we hit somebody's false ego. Nothing works. Avanti school, yeah. There may be some concern that there's not many Westerners going to it at the moment, but maybe it has to set off this way. And gradually, you know, at least it's getting started. There's another six being started up, is it? Or another four? One in Milton Keynes. Haribo! Milton Keynes is coming up. See, Milton Keynes, Lord Chaitanya planted Milton Keynes. He must have had some higher purpose. What was Lord Chaitanya's big weapon against impersonalism? Right at the beginning. Yeah. Five features. When I first went to Chaitanya College, I didn't know about the Panchatattva. I'd heard about Lord Chaitanya. I think I must have heard about Panchatattva in just while reading, but never really took any notice. I'd heard about Radha and Krishna and the deities. The temple president in Manchester said, go to Chaitanya College and spend a weekend or so there. It'll enliven you. So next weekend I drove down and went in, and after I took some prasad, they said, do you want to see the deities? I said, yeah, that's what I've come for. And when I opened the door, there were five deities there. And I didn't know what to make it. One of them got a beard on. And so, anyway, there was a lot of energy coming from them, but I couldn't work out what was happening. But actually, then I was hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita many years later. The devotees explained to me something. And in this Adi Leela, maybe you've all remember reading it not so long ago, how these five features are actually manifested by the Lord because there's relationships, different kinds of relationships. There's Lord Chaitanya, his relationship with Lord Nityananda. He has a different relationship with Sri Advaita. He has a different relationship with Gadadhar. And these are all his different potencies, all in these persons. And then there's different relationships with the jivas, and that's who? Srivas. And so in those five features, they're all the Lord's relationships with the living entities. And so it's difficult for the Mayavadis to explain this. They can't get around that one. And so Panchatattva are meant for breaking down this impersonalist understanding. Prabhupada will be, anyway, it's 9:30 now. We've got to, there's a special day today. Anyway, just a quick one. The Mayavadis say the Lord's form is Maya. This is why they call them Mayavadi. Everything's Maya. It comes from the word of goodness. But Bhagavad Gita doesn't say that. It says the Lord's form is transcendental. Therefore, a very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Janma karma cha me divyam, evam yo vati tattva. Tattva jayam. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not take birth again in this material world, but attains to my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So to factually understand that Krishna is the supreme transcendental person, he's not made of the material energy. We are not made of the material energy. And that there's a relationship. This is the actual real understanding of spiritual life. That there's the Lord, and there's a living entity, and there's devotional service between them. Hare Krishna. So there's one verse in the Brahma Samhita. Yashya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti kote shasesha visitati vibhuti vinam tad brahma nishkalam anantam asesha bhutam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. I serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the primeval Lord, the effulgence of whose transcendental body is known as the Brahma Jyoti. That Brahma Jyoti, which is unlimited, unfathomed, and all-pervasive is the cause of the creation of unlimited number of planets with varieties of climates and specific conditions of life. So this is the verse which defeats Mayavad philosophy. This was spoken by Lord Brahma, Brahma Samhita. That the Mayavad is believing in the Brahma Jyoti. We all come from the spiritual effulgence. But Lord Brahma is saying, Yashya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadandakoti, that all the millions of living entities, they're coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Govindam Adipurusham Tamham Vajami. And the many, many other verses actually in Bhagavad Gita also. So we should learn these verses and understand this philosophy of how to defeat the Mayavadis. It will keep us strong, and it will also, we'll be able to defend others against this Mayavad philosophy when we hear it preached. And as time goes on, we'll hear it more and more. Prabhupada, how did he deal with it? He was once at one meeting and there was Mayavadis there, and Prabhupada spoke, and then one of the Mayavadis started speaking, and Prabhupada was, then he said, start kirtan. And the devotees wondered, because he was speaking in Hindi, and so they all started this rousing kirtan while this Mayavadi was speaking. And then they asked Prabhupada, after what was that matter? Prabhupada said, he was speaking okay in the beginning, and then he started with this Mayavad philosophy. I could not stand it. So he got all the devotees to chant Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.